Dear brothers and sisters, there are a few fundamentals that you need to know once you become a Christian. Amongst them is the Lord's Prayer, Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer to instruct them on how they should pray. It's a representation of how Christians should offer their prayers to God. The Apostles' Creed is a typical statement of faith of believers. The Ten Commandments is an important fundamental to remember, as these are the commandments God had given to the Israelites through Moses. All God's words recorded in the 66 books of the Bible were condensed into 10, and they are like the main pillars of the Bible. Though it is impossible to memorize all those 66 books in its entirety, it's important to at least memorize and abide by the Ten Commandments as God's children. These are the basic practices in faith. This is why the process of baptism includes the declaration of keeping the Ten Commandments. However, you can only keep the commandments properly when you understand its spiritual meanings. For example, the commandment of "you shall not murder" has a deeper spiritual meaning than simply not killing. There will be many who think they're keeping this commandment as they've never murdered a person, but once they find out the spiritual meaning, they would realize that they are not. May you realize God's love in the giving of the commandments through the Ten Commandments sermon series. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will embed their spiritual meanings deep in your heart and fully keep them. Dear brothers and sisters, those who accept Jesus Christ as the Savior receive the status of being a child of God and receive heavenly citizenship. Just like the world has laws, there are also laws to keep as God's children. If you are a citizen of heaven, it's important to live by God's laws. That way, you can enjoy eternal life in heaven and a prosperous life full of God's blessings on earth. While you come to church, but if you don't have faith and you are the citizen of heaven, you have to know that you have problems in your faith, and you have to doubt whether you have faith of being saved. There are laws. If you have, according to what kind of nationality you have, you may have power or authority. If you are from a rich country, if you are wealthy, a strong country, but we have our citizenships in heaven or New Jerusalem. This cannot be exchanged for anything. This is a true blessing. If you have attended church, you have to have an assurance. Even if you are living like a wanderer on earth and briefly, even though you don't have many things to boast of, you have to be proud of having a citizenship in heaven and proud of being a son and daughters of God. And you have need to have such faith, and you have to be happy and rejoice about the fact that you have the citizenship, and you also have to examine whether you have such faith. And faith, we have. If you are certain that you have such citizenship, then through this sermon series, you have to check how many of the laws of God you are keeping. There are laws. If you violate the laws, you get harmed. And as a citizen of heaven, it is a must. It is your obligation to keep those laws. But while you don't keep those laws, if you ask, "Father, why aren't you giving me blessing? Why aren't you blessing me?" If you abide by His laws, you can enjoy all His blessings. This is the spiritual realm, law of the spiritual realm. And The laws that we need to keep as God's children are recorded in the 66 books of the Bible. There are do's and don'ts, and throw away and keep commands. Keeping these commands is living in the law of God. God's children who abide by these laws receive protection, and the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot give them tests or tribulations. Those who violate them cannot receive protection from God against the enemy, devil, and Satan's tests and tribulations. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 records on the spiritual law. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone or as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? This is a very crucial message. If while you profess to believe in God, if you don't live by the law, you have nothing to do with God. Even though you profess to believe in God, even though you are registered in a church, but if you live according to enemy devil's will, you are the sons of the darkness. So you are the slaves to sin. And you have to keep this in mind. You say, I'm attending church. I'm registered as a, I have a registration number. I diligently attend church. I pay the tithes. This is a, but if you live in sins and evil, that God detests, you are getting farther and farther away from the boundary of salvation. You should not forget this fact. Violating the commandments is committing sins, and eventually becoming a slave to sin and the devil and falling into hell. God did not give us the commandments to bind us and make us suffer. The commandments tell us in detail how to enter heaven and how to receive blessings in our lives. Despite the fact that they are the precious words of blessings, how many believers will they keep the Ten Commandments? Some people question how men can completely keep the Ten Commandments. They argue that those in flesh cannot wholly abide by the Ten Commandments. They simply try to do so. But God doesn't say so. First John chapter 5 verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." And He told us to, He said that because He's holy, we are to be holy, and we are to take part in His divine nature. He told us so. Keeping God's commandments is the evidence of loving Him, and the scripture tells us that abiding by these commandments should never be burdensome. Do you find keeping His commandments burdensome or difficult or arduous? God's words are not burdensome, the Bible says. You may say, I find it burdensome because when your faith is small, you may find it burdensome or difficult. You may think that way as a novice believer, but as you keep His laws, as you enjoy His blessings, and as you enjoy His love, and as you figure out the meaning, figure out the reason that God tells us to keep His laws, as you figure out the heart of Father God wanting to bless you, and as you realize that, you want to keep those laws. The shepherd often said, is it difficult for you to hate? Is it difficult to love? Which one is difficult? Someone distresses you, someone harasses you, someone gossips about you, and in front of you, he acts nicely, but in the back, he gossips about you, and you find out about that, and he is like double-faced man, and you begin to feel resentment, you begin to have hatred and resentment, ill feelings, and then worldly people find it natural to have such feelings because someone else distresses them, harasses them, and it's only natural for them to have those resentment. And worldly people think that way. But we have heard the word of God. We have been told to love our enemies. And when a person who hates us, whom we have to go with them 2 miles, when a person whom we hate asks us to go 1 mile, if we, at first we may find it burdensome. Let's say someone gossips about you and we are told to love that person, then but as you realize that God is living, as you witness that even diseases and problems are resolved by God, and even these diseases are healed, and you realize that God is living and God is your Father and He loves you and gave you those commandments, then you try to understand His heart, even though you may not fully understand His heart. And then you just realize that He is living, and you just want to live as the, because you know that Father God promises to bless you. Even though you don't fully understand His heart, you just try to keep His laws. This is the second level of faith. At least you try to keep these laws, and gradually you cast off hatred. Gradually, even though you cannot pray well, because you know that God, and you, as you experience healing at the like summer retreat, as you realize that God is living, and as you have experience, you try to live out a word, and you try praying, and then you have more of God's grace, and you have more faith in heaven, and then you begin to be able to act by these words. And you gradually cast off such. You still have ill feelings, you still have hatred, you still have a desire to avoid the person whom you hate, and even these feelings are cast off by your prayer. And then even when a person whom you hate approaches you, you have no hatred anymore. Joy depends on your heart. Even though someone harasses you, even though someone distresses you, you may try to understand his heart. You may have he may have understanding. You seek ways to make peace with him, and you would look so lovable in God's eyes. Then Father God would answer you, give you answers which you didn't even ask. Then how should it be difficult to keep His laws? You know that keeping His laws is the way of blessings, the way of happiness. That's why you enjoy joyfully keep His laws. So you don't find it difficult to, and then you are declared, you're the one that who love God. At first, initially you find it burdensome to keep His laws, but gradually you don't feel that way. Let's say you have been a Christian of like 20 years, 30 years, but you still find it burdensome to keep these laws. But other people also give excuses in keeping, and you don't love God's commandments, and you hate God's commandments. You have to check yourself. You have to see the current level of faith, and then you have to consider God's words easy and precious and life-giving, and it gives you health and blessings. It serves as a guideline to bless you. Generally, people in love feel happy when together. Even on a cold wintry night, they don't feel the chill. When someone who When someone who you really love asks a favor, you would do it with joy no matter how demanding it is. Instead of feeling weighed down by any sacrifices, you feel elated to be able to do something. You become happier when you see your loved one happy. It's the same with loving God. If we really love God, keeping the commandments wouldn't be difficult at all, but joyful. In the Old Testament times, people kept the laws through pure will and effort. But this changed in the New Testament times. To atone for our sins, the sinless Jesus underwent crucifixion and became the peace offering. The Holy Spirit also comes into the hearts of all those who accept and believe this and helps them. When we fully realize God's love in sending His only Son and get empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will be able to keep even what is difficult to keep with our own will and ability. Those who insist that it is difficult to keep God's commandments and so continue to live in sin cannot say that they love God or have true faith. John 1 John chapter 4 verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 tells us, "The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." In explaining the glory of the New Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21 verse 27 records, "No one who practices lying shall ever come into it." You wouldn't commit sin, but live. You wouldn't commit sin, but live according to the truth. If the word of God, the truth, namely the seed of life, resides within you. If you say that you believe in God but do not keep His commandments, then you have no truth within and you are telling lies before God. God's commandments, especially the Ten Commandments, are the fundamentals that we must keep. Today, let's look at the first commandment. Today's Bible passage, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3 say, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, 'I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" The "you" in the passage refers to Moses, who'd received the word directly, the Israelites, and all of God's children say it in the name of the Lord. Just as the God of Abraham manifested amazing wonders and signs to free the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery, Father God also saved us from living as slaves to sin while living in the world that is filled with sins and evil and perishing. It's important to never have any other gods before our God. Dear brothers and sisters, only our God is Almighty and He is the living, true God. He is the Creator who created all things. God gives a true and eternal life and governs everything in the universe, like human history and man's life and death and fortune and misfortune. However, many people worship false gods instead. Some worship Buddha, some serve stones or trees as gods. Others worship the North Star and perform rituals. In Korea, shamans perform rituals and call on gods such as Paektu Mountain God, Hala Mountain God, and other deities. They consider nature or dead people as gods. They are calling demons. We know what kind of entities demons are through the lectures on Genesis. Demons are the lowest ranks of the evil spirit realm, and people are calling those demons and they ask them for blessings or healing of diseases. And they are actually, I mean, They are asking for blessings for those evil spirits, and like, but God is the only one who created the heaven and earth, and He is the only one who governs the man's life and death and fortune and misfortune. Because they don't know this fact, they are calling these evil spirits for blessings or healing of diseases. Every nation and country serves different gods. As for our closest neighbor, Japan, they have as many as 8 million gods. It's important to know that these so-called gods have no power to save, us and can never give us blessings. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, having clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." If we observe the universe, it's clear that there is only one God, the Creator. If we consider the earth and the workings of the universe, it's impossible to say that there is no God, the Creator. Remember what you've learned in the science class. Earth rotates once a day and orbits the sun once a year, and the moon orbits the earth once a month. The rotations and revolutions lead to various phenomena on earth. We have day and night, along with four seasons. There are high and low tides, and the atmosphere also circulates. The positions and movements, of these celestial bodies have been set in the most appropriate way for all living things to survive. The distance between the sun and the earth and the moon are at its most suitable. They cannot be any further nor closer. Everything has been rotating and revolving without a single error at the most appropriate distance and interval for innumerable years. Dear brothers and sisters, can this be a coincidence? Did the Big Bang cause this? No, of course not. The Creator planned it, and He makes the universe work. And the Creator is our God. This was only possible through the Almighty God's wisdom in creating and operating the universe. There are other evidences to show that there is only one Creator. One of them is human beings. All humans have the same physical structure and functions. This is what the shepherd realized and shared with us. There are many gods. Worldly people say that there are many gods, and they call those evil spirits as God. Evil spirits are evil beings. They are spiritual beings. People serve those evil spirits as God. Even though they don't have power to heal their disease, they bring diseases, they bring difficulties, they bring curses. They have power to bring those bad things because they belong to the darkness. Evil spirits can bring trials and temptations and tribulations and create discord in a family. This is the role of the enemy devil. And those people who are in those trouble, they visit shaman, try exorcism, and they try to serve those evil spirits, and they are temporarily relieved of those troubles because these evil enemy devils, Satan, have those power to control them, and they temporarily take a break from giving them tests and tribulations, and then as people serve those evil spirits take a break from giving them troubles, and then people believe that, oh, they are really giving us blessings. It's only that they temporarily take a break from giving them curse and blessing. But Father God, He can completely remove them. He can prevent us from any. God is our power. God is the source of our strength and power. But those who don't know God, they serve those evil spirits. They serve those insignificant evil spirits. Then, let's say there are many gods. People, human beings, regardless of race, wouldn't look the same way. Think about that. Why? Each person has a different thought. If each person has different taste, each member of the family fight over what to eat. They have different tastes, preferences, and they have each have different thoughts. Even among brothers born of the same parent, they have different thoughts. But what about God? If there are many gods, let's say they would have different thoughts and they would have different design to create human beings, wouldn't they? But because we have only our one creator God, He's the one, only one deity, just by looking at human beings, we know that regardless of skin color, country, or ethnicity, all human beings have two eyes and ears, one nose and one mouth. The positions of the eyes, nose, and mouth are the same. The same goes for animals. An elephant, despite its long nose, only has one nose and two nostrils. Even a rabbit with long ears and a ferocious lion have the positions and functions of the eyes, nose, mouth, and ears the same as those of humans. Though there are slight differences depending on the species, such numerous animals, fish, birds, and insects have similar structures and functions. This shows that there is only one creator. Due to these clear evidences, no one can make an excuse saying, "I didn't know God existed," on the Day of Judgment. We who live a life of faith at this church always witness the clearest evidences. We see and hear of countless people being healed and blessed through the power in the name of the Lord. You also personally experience such works yourself. All these works are done by the name of the Lord. These are the God's works done in the name of the Lord. When God listens to the prayer of a servant of, and it's healed by the power of God through a servant of. So when you request a prayer to me, it is God who does things, and you have to do it. Each one of you have to ask God, and then Father God would ask you, but you still need a servant of God, you still need a pastor, because you don't have an intimate relationship with God, you don't have a close relationship with God, because you didn't live in the light. That's why you ask people pastors to intercede for you and request a prayer. But God's answer comes from God. And you request a prayer, and then you need to have satisfy the minimal qualifications to receive answers. Then you will receive answers. And through these sermons, you have to know that. But you have to check whether you relied on the worthless things, whether you served. If you don't recover the relationship with God like that, you cannot receive an answer. Even though you ask someone to intercede for you, even those who suffer tribulations by serving false gods can receive answers once they come before the Almighty God and rely on Him alone. Dear brothers and sisters, if we look at human history, those with a good heart acknowledge the one Creator and live righteously despite not having heard the gospel. Those with impure and confused hearts served and prayed to many gods. But the upright and pure revered the one creator. For example, for instance, Korea's famous general Sun Shin-li followed the duties of man in everything, always acted with sincerity and honesty, and served only one God. Despite having no knowledge of God or the Lord, General Lee did not serve shamans nor idols. He only looked up to the heaven and feared the only one creator in good conscience. Despite not knowing the commandments, those who similarly fear God try to live upright always and pursue goodness and truth. God opened the way of salvation for these people, and this is called the judgment of conscience. Romans chapter 2 verses 14 and 15 tell us, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, and that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. This means that God opened the way of salvation for people in Old Testament times. Before the coming of the Lord were those who did not hear the gospel and had no knowledge of the law. If they follow their good conscience, God opened the way of salvation. But the problem lies in the fact that there are people who say they know and believe in God's existence, but rely on or serve other gods instead. Some believe in God and the Lord, but visit shamans and engage in fortune-telling or witchcraft. Some even wear talismans. Some attend ceremonies or religions that worship false gods and sympathize with them, claiming that such acts promote harmony and generosity. There are also unbelievers who say that Christianity is too inflexible and exclusive, as it only tells them to believe in the one God. However, there is only one creator who created us. Other than our God, none can bless us or give us life. The meaningless gods that some people serve are ultimately of darkness and oppose our God. They derive from the devil, the enemy of God. The enemy devil is Satan, deceive people into turning away from God, whom they must fear, and serving meaningless idols. The enemy receives the worship instead, leading them to destruction. People who profess to believe in God but serve other gods as well experience endless trials and tribulations. They live a miserable life with sorrow and illnesses. The God of love does not want people to serve other gods and perish. So, He commanded us to have no other gods before Him so that we can serve the only one God, receive eternal life, and live a blessed life on earth. If God had not written this commandment, those who claim to believe in God but are not resolute in heart might accept and serve other gods. Brothers and sisters, please remember, people say, I consider God the, some people say, I serve God the most, and I also have other minor gods that I serve. This is not acceptable. Once you live by the word of God, the enemy devil cannot even touch you or approach you. This is a true rest. This is true. Enemy devil is just an enemy of God. But if you serve the enemy devil who is the enemy of God, this is not acceptable. Brothers and sisters, please remember that any gods besides God are of no benefit and harmful to the soul. It's important to also remember that those who truly believe in God do not serve other gods nor rely on the fleshly world. Without involving fleshly thoughts, they rely only on God. Couldn't our God, who created all things along with our internal organs, heal any physical ailment? No matter how difficult and distressful your situation, couldn't our God, who governs man's life and death and blessings and curse, change the situation and circumstance? When a person truly believes, relies on God with a guileless and true heart, God is pleased and will surely answer. Psalm chapter 62 verse 5 tells us, "My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for my hope is from Him. For my hope is from Him." I hope that you will always meet and experience the loving God who fulfills your hope by solely relying on Him. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters. First Chronicles chapter 16 verse 26 says, "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made their heavens." The Israelites acquired knowledge about the one and only God who made the heavens and experienced countless works. But as time passed, they turned away and sought other gods. The Israelites offered sacrifices to God, but they also burned incense to and served the gods of the Gentiles due to their fondness. What became of the results? Each time the Israelites suffered from trials, tribulations, and disasters, when they could not endure anymore, they eventually repented and returned to God. God, who is full of mercy and compassion, accepted them time and again. God forgave and drove away the disasters. I hope that you will not be foolish enough to repeat the same mistakes like the Israelites did. Since you have seen, heard, and experienced countless works, may you be resolute in serving and relying on God alone, who created and still governs all things under heaven and on earth. May you also have the blessed lips to boldly testify that the only true deity is our God alone. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will enjoy abundant blessings as God's children with His love and trust, both on earth and in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.